The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So far the word. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord. Because Easter is so late this year, we get a prolonged observance of Epiphany. The term Epiphany, as it is used in church circles, refers to the fact that the child who was born to the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem is revealed or manifested to be the Son of God in human flesh and the Savior of all mankind. In the words of the Song of Simeon, which we celebrated yesterday, the Christ child is not only the glory of his people Israel, the Old Testament people of promise, but he is also the light who lightens the Gentiles, all the nations and races of the earth, the wise men who came from far to the east searching for the Christ child, the foreign soldier, that Roman officer who begged Jesus to heal his servant, the Samaritan woman at the well of Sychar, that woman who belonged to a race of people with whom the Jews were continually in strife and contention. God in human flesh manifests himself as Savior of all, Savior of the nations. After the Son of God in human flesh had completed the work of winning the salvation of all mankind by his life and death and resurrection, he sent his apostles out with the gospel in word and sacrament, and by that gospel he distributed that salvation which he had won among men. And when the risen and ascended Christ selected a human agent to bring the gospel to the people of the Roman Empire, he picked a most unlikely candidate. He chose Saul of Tarsus, as we heard the other day. The Son of God took this man, steeped in Jewish learning, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as he described himself, the ultimate Pharisee, a man so filled with passionate zeal for his Jewish heritage that he worked tirelessly to stamp out what he regarded as a damnable doctrine, the teaching that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ promised in the Old Testament scriptures. But God took this man and he made him the apostle, the one sent to the Gentiles. At one time, it was as though the very air he breathed, his life element, was made up of threats and murder against the gospel. And later this same man said, "For me, to live is Christ. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." And in the words of our reading for today, the love of Christ compels us. Making the gospel known among men was the compelling force of his life as a called apostle. "If one died for all, then all died," he exclaims here. In Christ's death, it was as though we all died. His sacrificial death has universal meaning for mankind, which cuts across all human divisions and barriers. Because of this truth, God does not credit sin toward us. Instead, he made his Son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here is the great epiphany, the manifestation of God's grace among men. But there is something else that we should take note of with regard to how Paul's outlook changed. The change in his attitude toward Jesus of Nazareth was, of course, a dramatic one. But another important change involved how he regarded his fellow human beings. In the light of the gospel, the apostle said this: "From now on, We regard no one according to the flesh. Other translations change the concrete style of the apostles' language to something a bit more abstract. We regard no one from a worldly point of view or from a human point of view. For the apostle, the truth of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This gospel truth profoundly changed his thinking about other people. He could no longer think of other people simply according to the flesh, as he says, from a merely human point of view, from a worldly point of view. He saw the hearers of the gospel message that he proclaimed in a very different light. Apart from the Christian gospel message, we are continually thinking about our fellow human beings according to the flesh, from the worldly or merely human perspective. And that perspective tends to dwell on the things that make us different from other human beings. Dwelling on differences involves making comparisons. And when we make comparisons, we make judgments. And those judgments are often highly competitive in nature. And those judgments are shaped by our perverse, egocentric nature that in one way or another is saying, I and my group represent what is good. That which is other and different is therefore in some way inferior or just plain bad. And so we get very good at finding those 101 ways of regarding others according to the flesh, from a worldly perspective, which leads ultimately to the self-righteous Pharisaical prayer, God, I thank you that I am not like other people whose inferiority I can prove in so many ways. Well, the antidote to this spiritually self-destructive mentality is found in two great and clear truths. We call them law and gospel. The law makes it very clear that where we think we can see difference, God sees sameness. He looks down from heaven and says, there is no difference. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. And then the amazing truth of the gospel comes into focus, that God so loved the world, no one excluded, that he gave his only begotten Son. These two truths of Scripture provided St. Paul with a radical reorientation of his thinking concerning his fellow human beings. The once harshly judgmental Pharisee who lorded himself over others in self-righteousness came to say, from now on, I regard no one according to the flesh. Whatever differences there might be between me and mine on the one hand and those who are other and different for whatever human reasons on the other hand, those differences fade away into irrelevance in the light of two facts. We all need a Savior, and in Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, we have a common Savior. The law tears down and demolishes all our pride and pretension. The gospel relieves us of all despair and hopelessness. When we assemble in this place to hear the word of the Lord, we regard no one according to the flesh from a worldly perspective. Here, all that is different about us fades away, and what makes us one emerges with clarity. There is one body and one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all by the gospel. Blessed are those who hear and believe.